After Anya pressed the button, several things happened. First, the lights went out, plunging the entire room into total darkness.
Kessel? Kessel? Wonderful. Now I'm alone.
The sudden cold shock almost stunned her senseless. She guessed that she'd fallen at least 20 feet, but couldn't be sure. It was still completely dark in the pool she found herself in, adding to her insecurity about her position. She wiped her eyes and tried to focus. The first thing she did was determine the size of the pool she'd dropped into. Anya swam in one direction until she bumped into stone, a wall.
There, that tells me at least there's some end to this.
She swam back the way she'd come, but grew tired partway across. It wasn't a small pool. Anya dove down, but again, she couldn't find the bottom before her lungs threatened to burst.
Let me get back to that wall.
Anya paddled back over and felt the cool, slimy stones covered in mossy algae. And Anya hadn't detected any chlorine, so this was a natural body of water. And that meant there might be other things living in it besides the algae. Just then, Anya felt something brush against her legs. She jerked them up and away. She wasn't in salt water, so that ruled out sharks. And while she didn't relish the thought of facing anything in the dark, she could control her panic.
Better find out what it is.
Anya visualized the sword waiting for her in the otherwhere. Instantly, the sword was in her hands, forcing her to tread water with her legs only. Luckily, and in its mysteriously intuitive way, the sword cast a dull gray light, providing much-needed illumination. Anya held the blade high overhead and attempted to see where she was. She glanced up at the ceiling and saw she'd misjudged the distance she'd fallen by perhaps a dozen feet. She could see the hole in the ceiling where she'd come plummeting through.
Any higher and I would have broken my back when I landed.
The stone wall at one end gleamed in the light. Anya could see that the stones reached all the way to the ceiling, but looked impossible to climb. Then she slowly traced the wall. It went all the way around the water. She estimated that the pool was the length of a football field, completely enclosed by the stone wall. Again, she was in a room with no apparent exit. She'd already tried to dive and hadn't reached the bottom.
So how deep is it? And does the exit lie somewhere beneath the surface? One way to find out.
Anya dove, holding the sword out in front of her while she kicked through the water. Just having the sword gave her a lot more strength, and her system felt flush with energy. Her lungs didn't protest so much as she swam deeper. She could make out all sorts of plants and a sandy bottom roughly 30 feet below her. A school of small fish swam away from the light of the sword, and Anya saw their large white eyes, more accustomed to the darkness than the light.
What else lives down here?
Anya got her answer a second later as a long, dark shape cruised by lazily some distance away from her. It was a distinctly shark-like shape, a bull shark to be precise. Anya felt her heartbeat kick up a notch as she remembered that bull sharks could live in freshwater. They'd been found up rivers hundreds of miles away from the ocean. The shark suddenly seemed to notice her and altered its course. It wasn't huge, but at roughly 6 feet long, it was still large enough to give Anya some problems.
Why is it that every time I get wet, a shark shows up? Good thing I'm armed.
Anya hoped she wouldn't have to kill it. It was simply doing what it was supposed to do. But when it suddenly swam closer with its pectoral fins jutting downward, Anya could see that its attitude had changed from mild curiosity to anger.
It figures.
Anya flicked the sword blade up and aimed it at the shark's snout. It brushed against the steel, and Anya felt the blade cut into the nostrils. The shark bucked and jumped away. Anya watched it retreat into deeper water, trailing a thin line of blood in its wake. She hoped she'd seen the last of it. She turned her attention back to surveying the area beneath her. Unfortunately, she ran out of air. There was no doubt the sword helped her stay underwater longer, but there were limits to what it could do. And if Anya was going to figure out how to get out of here, she'd have to be sure she could reach the exit in one breath. Anya dove underwater again. She barely missed the set of teeth that flashed past her head. The bull shark was back.
All right, you asked for it.
Anya kicked hard to put distance between them and then floated in the water with the sword in front of her. The bull shark came at her hard. Anya cut fast, severing part of the bull shark's snout with a single swipe. Blood flooded the water and the shark reeled away. Anya cut it again, a killing thrust to the underbelly.
I hope there's only one of them. Otherwise, I just rang the dinner bell.
Anya was determined to find a way out. She swam even deeper, beneath the blood cloud that hung suspended in the water. The sword lit her way, and Anya swam for the weeds growing down near the bottom of the pool. The sword's light illuminated more of the bottom. Anya spotted more fish and a few turtles. Was that enough to feed a shark as big as the one she'd just dispatched?
Would have been nice if Fairclough had warned me about the damn shark. I could have been killed back there. And he doesn't even know about the sword.
Anya made it to the other end of the pool. With one hand on the stone wall, she held out the sword and scanned the surface of the pool for triangular fins. She doubted there'd be more than one shark. It would be too difficult to keep two of them fed properly. Then she plunged beneath the surface again, kicking even more strongly than she had previously.
I've got to find a way out of here quickly.
She traced her way down the wall toward the bottom. A massive boulder sat near the wall itself. Anya floated in the water and tried to reason out what Fairclough would have planned for this room. Anya swam toward the boulders. Small crabs scurried away from her as she approached. Anya thought the topmost boulder looked unusual. She tried giving it a good push. It moved suddenly. A long black tunnel was revealed. She jabbed the sword into the opening, but the blade's light faded about 10 feet from the entrance.
Wonderful. There's no way of telling how far it goes.
Anya surfaced and looked around, trying to see if she'd missed anything. But as far as she could tell, there was no choice. The stone walls of the pool ran right up to the ceiling high overhead. There was no way to climb the walls. No, the more Anya thought about it, the more she suspected the exit really was the tunnel beneath the surface. She'd just have to take a chance that she could swim it in one breath.
Here goes nothing.
Anya plunged straight down toward the tunnel. Determinedly pulling herself through it, she kicked harder than she thought possible. The darkness seemed to stretch before her, yawning like some great black maw. Anya drove the sword out ahead of her, willing it to carry her forward, lend her its strength. Her legs ached from kicking.
Come on, Anya, keep swimming!
Anya didn't dare stop and look back. She had a gut feeling that she'd already passed the point of no return. Her lungs started to crave oxygen more than they ever had before.
Keep going!
Her legs ached now, and Anya knew this was the final energy she could pull from the sword. She didn't think it had an inexhaustible supply of energy to give her. Nothing did.
I'm almost there. A few seconds more.
And then she faintly detected light ahead. The tunnel started to open up. She kicked with every last ounce of strength she possessed. Finally clearing the tunnel, Anya shot for the surface. She needed to get out of the water and find a way to warm herself. Otherwise, she was done for. She turned in the water and saw a sandy beach ahead. Anya swam for the shore and waded out of the water. She fell onto the sugar-soft sand. Her entire body felt chilled to the core. Anya managed to send the sword away, and then exhaustion washed over her. She closed her eyes and just wanted to fall asleep. But she knew she couldn't. The watch on her wrist already showed her more than 1 hour had passed since Green had delivered his ultimatum to find the book, or Fairclough would die. Anya hauled herself into a sitting position. The sand was mercifully warm, and her clothes already seemed to be drying, as if they'd been exposed to a fire. Anya lay back down on the sand and let the warmth, which seemed to be radiating up from under it, bleed into her and restore her core temperature.
Fairclough planned for this. There's a heater under this sand. But a heater wouldn't be left on all the time. There must be motion sensors somewhere to switch it on. Either that or cameras with people watching me. If I can figure out a way to get to some sort of control room, there might be a way to bypass the maze itself and head right to the book. Of course, I'd still have to go through the maze to find the control room.
Anya sat back up. Kessel was still nowhere to be seen.
I wonder if Kessel had his own run-in with a shark. I hope not. He is very strong, and smarter than I'd first thought. Maybe he'd be willing to help me, if I can find him again. and Green certainly treats him like he's expendable. I'd be furious with Green if he did that to me.
She hauled herself to her feet and stomped around, feeling her muscles come back to life. A few knee bends and waving her arms around helped flush blood through her body.
Now, where do I go from here?
She took a look around this new room and saw that the beach ended almost as soon as she got away from the water. Obviously, the sand was only there to reheat frozen swimmers. But beyond that, it was back to business. The maze. A wide corridor stretched out in front of her. Lights ran along the length of it, illuminating different shaped stones that paved the floor. Some of them were shaped like squares, some like rectangles, and some triangles. Anya tapped the point of her sword on one of the square tiles. Whatever tripwire she'd triggered had fired its dart or spear into the water.
Good range.
Anya cautiously sat back up and tapped the edge of the sword on one of the triangular tiles. This time, she saw the small dart zip over her head and land in the water.
Last time.
Anya touched the tip of the sword to the rectangle.
All right, then.
Anya set off down the corridor, making sure to keep to the rectangular tiles.
Good thing I played all that hopscotch at the orphanage.
The corridor went on for another 50 feet before ending abruptly.
Ugh, bugger.
Anya stood on the brink of a pit that stretched 15 feet before the corridor continued on the other side of it for another 50 feet or so. The distance was too far to jump, and trying to get a running start could prove fatal if she happened to step on the wrong shaped tile. And if she did manage to jump the gap, she'd have to make sure that she landed on the rectangles on the other side as well. Anya shook her head.
Fairclough, if I get out of here, I may just kill you myself.
She glanced overhead, wondering if perhaps he'd left a rope hanging down that she could use to swing across the divide.
No such luck.
She knelt at the lip of the gap and peered into the chasm. The sword cast light only so far, but Anya thought she could see what looked like tips of spears jutting up at an angle, ready to impale those unlucky enough to fail the jump. She had seen them before, in the jungles of Southeast Asia.
Punji sticks. Why am I not surprised?
Anya glanced over her shoulder at the placement of the rectangular tiles. They'd been spaced just far enough that she was confident there was no way she could get any type of running start.
What am I missing?
Still kneeling at the edge of the pit, Anya slashed the air with her sword again. The gray light illuminated the tips of the punji sticks. But something seemed strange about the way the light bounced off the ceiling above the chasm. Anya looked again.
Aha!
She stabbed upward and felt the blade pass seemingly right into the ceiling. It was canvas, painted to look like stone. Anya's blade cut a swath through it, and it dropped down to her. She tested its strength.
Is it strong enough to take my weight?
Anya pulled harder.
Ugh, damn it!
But as she pulled the material, she saw something white drop down. A rope.
Fairclough, you just redeemed yourself.
But as Anya reached for the end of the rope, she paused. Without the sword's light, she wouldn't have seen that the ceiling was made of canvas. Without the sword, she wouldn't have been able to cut the canvas and find the rope. Uneasy suspicions were swimming around her psyche like patrolling sharks. Anya shook her head.
Get out of this place first, and for God's sake, stop thinking about sharks.
When she put her full body weight on the rope, it held. Anya swung across the divide easily. She landed neatly on one of the rectangular stones. Anya checked her watch. 20 minutes had passed.
I better get moving.
Anya stepped gingerly down the corridor and then saw the turn ahead of her to the right. She knelt at the corner and stuck her head out just enough to get a glimpse of what would be waiting. She jerked back as another dart zipped past where her head had been a second before.
Not more freaking darts.
Anya waited, and then stuck the sword back around first.
Just one?
She took a chance and stepped around the corner. The corridor was dimmer than the one she'd just left. That made her suspicious. Anya kept her steps light, ready to either jump out of the way or drop to the floor if she thought she needed to. But as the corridor continued, she started to relax slightly.
Maybe I've passed this challenge already.
Anya forgot the need to stay on the rectangles. Anya broke into a sprint forward. As the first stones rained down from above, she put her hands overhead to ward off what she could. As it was, she caught a few of them. She prayed that there were no more darts as she dove into a roll that brought her 10 feet ahead of where the roof collapse had started. Anya got to her feet and looked back. The corridor was completely blocked. She had no choice but to proceed. She looked down to pick out the next rectangular tile, but the floor had changed from tile to rock. The slope of the floor also flowed down at a slight angle. As she moved slowly ahead, the air grew cooler.
I feel like I'm in a Dungeons & Dragons game. I wonder if there'll be an ogre around the corner. Luckily, I have my sword.
But there wasn't an ogre waiting around the corner. And as Anya progressed, the light dimmed even more, making it difficult to see what lay ahead. She paused, trying to see if she could make out any details of the landscape. Anya kept moving. She used the sword to light the way ahead, and its gray illumination enabled her to see that she was approaching another corner. When she rounded the corner, she saw what was making the noise. A large scythe blade swung back and forth across the corridor, its steel edge looking incredibly sharp. The shaft that held the blade disappeared into a gap in the ceiling almost 20 feet overhead. Anya tried to get a look at the mechanism controlling it, but it was too dark.
I wonder how many times Fairclough has watched the Indiana Jones movies.
Anya drew as close as she could to the blade and felt the breeze as it swung back and forth. There was a momentary gap as the blade passed her. If she timed it right, she could leap across and be on her way.
And if I don't time it right, I'll be sliced like deli pastrami.
Instead, she jumped onto the back of the blade itself, close by the shaft, and squatted there as it swung back and forth. Then she simply leaped off to the other side, rolled, and came up in a crouch. She jumped just in time to avoid another slashing blade that cut at her exposed legs.
Missed me, Fairclough, you devious bastard.
He was stacking his challenges now, lulling people into assuming there was only one main task to deal with and then nailing them when they got lazy.
Well, never again.
Anya followed the corridor down another slope and then found herself facing a simple wooden door. Her first instinct was to check for tripwires, but a quick search revealed nothing out of the ordinary. Anya opened the door and, after a quick visual once-over, walked inside. She stood in a 10-by-10 room, brightly lit by fluorescent bulbs in the ceiling. But what made the room so interesting were the three doors set into the wall opposite the one she'd come through. Anya closed the door behind her. She ducked, expectantly, but nothing happened.
Three doors. Three ways to leave the room?
Anya approached the middle door directly in front of her, turned the doorknob and pulled, but it wouldn't budge. She tried pulling again, harder.
All right. Let's see what's behind door number one.
She pulled on the door to the left, and it opened easily. The problem was that she now faced a brick wall. Anya closed the door.
Number three?
But when she opened that door, she faced a similar brick wall.
Okay, so the prize is behind door number two. What do I have to do to get it open, Fairclough?
Anya stood in the middle of the room and faced the three doors.
If one of the doors was open, maybe that would unlock the center door?
She kept the left door open and then went back to the center door. But it didn't budge. Anya tried her luck with the door on the right, leaving it open while she tried the center door again. Still no luck. This time, Anya left both doors standing wide open and again tried the center door. But it still didn't open. Anya considered hacking her way through the door with the sword, but experience had taught her that she might end up tripping another booby trap. Anya stood there with her hands on her hips.
Why couldn't Fairclough have just gotten himself a floor safe?
She glanced over her shoulder at the door she'd come through. Then she shrugged and walked back to it. It wouldn't open.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Anya looked around the rest of the room, but there wasn't much to see. White alabaster walls surrounded her, except for the four doors the room contained. Anya tried the right-hand door this time, but the center door didn't open. Then she opened the left door and tried again. Nothing. Anya closed the right door and kept the left one standing open. Then she went to the door she'd come through and tried it. It didn't budge. She closed the left door and opened the right door. Then she tried the door she'd come through originally. This time it opened.
Well, at least I got that far. There has to be a system here, and somehow I'll get through it.
Anya walked back to the center door and tried it, but it was still locked. So Anya went to the left door and opened that one. Then she went back to the center door and tried opening it again. And this time, it opened.
Finally!
Anya checked the doorframe and then stepped into another corridor. This one was pretty dark, so she held her sword out. It cast a glow down the hallway. Anya moved slowly.
All right, Fairclough. So far the puzzles haven't been that difficult. Are you just trying to slow me down, make me overconfident? You've already convinced me that I can't afford to let my guard down. When are you going to bring on the real challenge?
Anya glanced at her watch. 2 hours had passed. Anya froze. The floor changed back to stone tiles.
Oh, great.
She used the tip of the sword and probed each tile as she proceeded slowly. But nothing happened. Anya looked up and checked her surroundings. The corridor was about 100 yards long, and Anya realized that she was tired. The stress of forever being alert was starting to take a toll on her. Plus, it didn't help that she'd burned herself out during the swim through the tunnel. What she really wanted to do was sit down somewhere and take a nap.
I can't afford to do that. If I fall asleep now, I might not wake up in time to save Fairclough, and that would deny me the pleasure of skinning him alive for putting me through this maze. Okay, what now? What's making that sound?
Anya peered into the darkness, trying to use the sword to make out any details she might have missed.
There.
She spotted a piece of dust coming away from the wall. Anya moved toward it and examined the wall. There was a round hole in the masonry, and something was blowing out of it.
Gas!
Anya moved away from the nozzle and tried to estimate how long it would take for her to be rendered unconscious from the stuff spraying into the corridor. With 50 feet still to go ahead of her, she had a choice to make. She could continue on slowly, probing each tile for hidden tripwires and booby traps, or she could simply take her chances and run for it. There was a door at the end of the corridor, and if she could make that, she might have a chance. Her eyelids felt heavy.
Here goes.
Anya ran for all she was worth, ignoring the darts that whizzed around her, focusing on nothing but reaching the door, and then she was there. She collapsed against the door and slid, exhausted, to the floor. To her astonishment, Kessel was there, surrounded by 3 large, angry-looking Doberman pinschers. The fourth dog lay dead near Kessel, its neck at an abrupt angle.
Kessel!
Kessel glanced in her direction. The dog who had lunged at Kessel scampered away, but not far. The dogs thought they had Kessel cornered, and while he might have killed one of their own, there were still 3 of them to tear him apart. Anya started forward and turned. Another dog squatted in the corner, and this one was bigger than any of the others. Its lips curled up over its enormous canines as it crept forward. If the dog was concerned about the sword, it showed no sign. Anya pivoted as the dog sailed past her.
Damn it, I don't want to kill you, but you're not giving me much of a choice here.
The dog came at her again. Anya caught him on his flanks with the flat of her blade. The dog landed, skittered away from Anya, then turned and came racing right back at her. The dog's body crashed to the floor and twitched briefly. Its head landed across the room, closer to Kessel. One of the other dogs nosed the decapitated head, sniffing around it. Kessel glanced at Anya, and his eyes widened when he saw the sword.
So much for keeping that a surprise.
Another dog nosed the alpha's head and sniffed the first dog that had nosed it. And then all 3 ran down the corridor away from Anya and Kessel.
That was close.
I thought you didn't have a tongue.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly accurate.
Oh, shit. You want to explain that one to me?
Not much to explain. Green's much more trusting when he thinks there's no fear of anyone letting his secrets out.
And who would want to do that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a special agent with the FBI?
You're with the Bureau?
I am.
Prove it.
As if. I don't carry a badge around with me, Anya. Something like that would get me killed. Green wouldn't even hesitate if he suspected me.
How long have you been under?
2 years.
That's a hell of a long time.
Tell me about it. I almost forget what it's like to have a conversation sometimes. My throat gets all raspy, too. You don't seem as surprised as I thought you would be.
I've known my fair share of feds.
Well, at least that charade is over. I'm glad you know I'm one of the good guys.
What's the matter?
So, where'd you get that sword?
What sword?
Wait, what? Where?
Look, we can talk about that later. What happened to you after the floor gave way in the table room?
I fell. Landed in some murky pool filled with nasty biting fish of some sort. I had to swim through a long tunnel to get out of it, but fortunately I'm used to doing things like that blindfolded.
You are?
I was a Navy SEAL before I joined the Bureau.
Well, that accounts for the size of your upper body, all the swimming. You're not the first SEAL I've ever known.
You must run in some pretty strange circles.
Sometimes I don't think I have any friends who even know what normal is.
So what now?
We go on, obviously. Faircloth's running out of time. We're 3 hours in and I have no clue if we're anywhere near the center of the maze.
That book could be anywhere. Did Faircloth give you any indication whatsoever about its location?
Said I'd understand the maze better when I got in here. But damned if I can figure it out. I expected something a lot more mentally taxing. But so far, it's just been about physically being able to handle the challenges he's thrown at me.
Well, he wasn't throwing them at you, per se. He designed this in case thieves broke in and wanted the book.
Yeah, but if I just view it as a security system, then it doesn't make much sense. Fairclough wanted me for some reason. Almost as if he knew I'd be the only person who might have a shot at getting the book. Oh, that sounds awfully pretentious.
Kinda does, but it also makes sense. I know Green was pretty upset when Fairclough demanded he get you to come here.
You've been undercover for 2 years and you still don't have enough to arrest Green?
Well, not until today. Him murdering that guy Jackson was enough, obviously.
So how come you didn't nab him?
Because you decided to imitate a bird. I was just about to reveal myself when you took off. I couldn't let Green chase after you.
You got the getaway van, though.
Well, better to help him than risk him putting a hole in your head like he did with Jackson. Besides, I still had Fairclough to worry about. You okay?
I'm tired as hell. Traipsing through some weird underground maze isn't exactly how I saw my vacation playing out.
Sorry you got wrapped up in this. Fairclough's insistence that you be brought to his home set Green back on his heels. But he's determined to get at that book.
Why is it so important to him?
You heard what Fairclough said. Supposedly there's some hidden code within its pages. That's what Green wants. He's convinced that possessing the book will enable his plans for future terrorism.
Well, he's already ruined my vacation. So I guess the least I can do is make sure he never gets his hands on the book, huh?
I like the way you think.
You don't know me well enough to say that. And you might just change your mind before this is all over.
As long as you don't run me through with that giant sword you got somewhere.
Let's pretend that doesn't exist, okay?
Little late for that, don't you think?
Maybe it was just an optical illusion. After all, I don't think anyone in the Bureau would believe you if you mentioned it to them.
You think I'm that dumb? I like my job. I mention something like your sword and they'll send me packing with a side trip to the shrink's couch.
Well, as long as we understand each other.
After I got out of the pool, I found my way into another corridor. That one had a whole bunch of spears that rained down on me as I ran through it.
You're lucky you weren't impaled.
I don't know if luck had anything to do with it. I was just so scared I ran faster than humanly possible.
The corridor opened up and started to climb at a shallow angle. Kessel glanced at Anya.
What do you think?
We keep going. Somewhere up ahead, there's got to be an indicator of where the book is.
It just feels like we're being funneled along. As if we're being set up for an ambush of some sort.
Yeah, that occurred to me as well.
It's like when I was on the teams. We'd plan an ambush by funneling the enemy into a kill zone. Get them moving into a space that we would totally dominate with explosives and gunfire. That'd be the end of them.
How long were you with the SEALs?
10 years. Saw action in Iraq and Afghanistan. Saw a lot of shit. Lost some good friends as well. When I got out, I floated around for a while. I could have gone and worked for private security companies and pulled down a crapload of money.
Why didn't you?
I guess I thought I wasn't done serving my country yet. So I joined the Bureau.
And once you graduated from Quantico?
Right into operations. I worked a human trafficking ring out of New York's Chinatown. Seriously, bad stuff. Once I was done destroying that ring, I wanted to do something a little different. Something about seeing 10-year-old girls pressed into prostitution rattled me.
So you got green?
Yeah. Eco-terrorism is one of the concerns of the Bureau these days, and Green was one of the biggest ones they wanted watched.
How'd you get close to him?
I hung my shingle out as a former operator. The Bureau doctored my medical records, and I sat around in a dingy office in Newark until one day he came to me.
And what about the whole tongue thing?
I used a prosthetic insert to make it look like I had a fake tongue at first. Then once Green got comfortable around me, I tossed it. Now if he sees my tongue, he simply assumes it's the prosthetic. I've never actually spoken to him.
I'm amazed it was that easy.
You're not the only one. But he fell for it and took me in. I had to prove myself, of course.
How?
It's probably best if you don't know. Not that it was horrible stuff or anything, but if you knew, it could compromise me in court if you were called to testify. So we'll just gloss over that part, if you don't mind.
No problem.
My main concern has been what Green is really up to. This book has been an obsession of his for almost a year now. He's been driven to find it and uncover its secrets.
You think there's something to it?
Green thinks there is, and that's what counts right now. Green's desperate to hurt the people who have harmed his vision of a utopian planet. That makes him a dangerous dude. And I've been after my superiors to treat him more as a viable threat. To date, it's been a challenge to do that.
But they saw him as a threat initially.
We see a lot of threats. I've kept a running tally of what Green's been up to over the past few years, the stuff he's done, the people he's hurt. I haven't seen it all personally, though, which is why he hasn't been picked up yet.
You need to document it firsthand?
Yep.
And now you've seen him kill Jackson.
That's enough for me.
Meaning what?
Not all justice runs through the courts. I'm sure that's something you're familiar with.
Yeah, I've had some experience with that sentiment. Mostly because of this.
Whoa!
Kessel stared at the sword, then glanced at Anya, then rubbed a hand over his face and shook his head.
Okay. I must have hit my head or accidentally taken some of Jonas's Amazon snake oil or...
No, it's real enough. Here.
She extended the sword toward him. He looked at it in silence for a moment, then tentatively reached out and ran a finger down the gleaming flat of the blade. Finally, he tested the edge with his thumb.
All right. It's real. And you just pulled it out of thin air, but I still don't understand.
Kessel, you don't need to understand it. You just need to accept it. If I had the time, I could tell you the whole bizarre story behind this sword and why I have it, but it still wouldn't make any sense. I live with it, and I don't understand it. But I needed to let you see it appear. I don't need to tell a combat veteran like you that in a dangerous situation, a split-second distraction can get you killed. I can guarantee that dangerous situations are up ahead, and a medieval broadsword appearing out of thin air is about the biggest distraction I can think of. I just wanted you to be prepared.
Okay. You made your point. Now that I've seen it, are you gonna make it go pfft again?
No. Ever since the sword became a part of me, I've learned to trust my instincts. Something doesn't feel quite right.
With all due respect, you don't need a magic sword to feel that something isn't right about this situation. Damn, I wish I had a weapon. I lost mine when I fell into that damn pool. There was no way I could take forever searching for it in the dark while those fish nibbled on me.
I don't blame you. I had to deal with a shark.
Has it occurred to you that Fairclough might be a major loony? I mean, this maze, sharks, biting fish, attack dogs? Talk about overkill, if you'll pardon the expression.
I probably wouldn't have phrased it quite that way. But I have to agree. He could have bought himself a giant vault and secured the book behind 2 feet of hardened steel. Instead, he goes and does this.
The cost of this place must have been staggering. I didn't think book dealers made this kind of money.
We also don't know what his motivation was. I know he's got this book, but why does he feel he has to go to such ridiculous lengths to protect it?
Huh. I guess there's only one way to find out, huh?
Then let's get going. Besides, it's not like we can go back. The tunnel caved in after I came down it.
Same thing happened to me. If we can't go back, we have to move forward. Funneled into a kill zone. And damned if I don't feel the same way I used to on missions.
You're not alone. There's definitely been a change in the energy of this place. It almost feels like... Well, I'm not quite sure.
I am. It feels like we're being stalked.
Yeah, but by what?
I don't know. But I'm glad you've got that sword.
They didn't have time to worry about it for long. Around another bend in the corridor, a large door barred their way. Kessel glanced at Anya.
The entrance to another room?
Could be.
Anya ran her hands over the door jamb.
I don't think it's rigged to explode or anything.
Well, that's nice to know. Let's see what this is about, then.
Kessel opened the door, studying the darkness that lay beyond, before cautiously crossing the threshold. When nothing happened, Anya stepped in and decided she might as well close the door behind them. There was never any going back in this maze. The light from her sword did little to illuminate their surroundings. Anya could see barely 2 feet in front of her, but she knew Kessel was close by.
You think something's in here with us?
No, but the room feels much larger than what we can see.
Didn't the dogs have to come this way too? If so, who or what opened the door for them? I get the feeling there's another route through this maze that we haven't seen.
I agree. It would be great if we could find it.
Well, only one way to do that. Let's go.
Kessel? Kessel?
Anya slowly swept the sword in Kessel's direction. He wasn't there.
Damn it!
Anya sank to her knees and felt the floor next to her. Solid. She swept the sword across the floor where she thought Kessel had been. A couple of feet ahead of her, the floor disappeared.
A hole. Kessel must have stepped right into it.
Anya crept cautiously to the edge and peered into the blackness.
Kessel! Damn it, I just found him and now I've lost him again.
Anya wondered if there were other traps lying in wait in the room. She could take her chances and try to find a way across, but she might end up in a different hole that took her even further from Kessel.
If I go down this hole, I should find him. Of course, knowing Fairclough, there's no guarantee of that. But what other choice do I have?
Anya sat, swung her legs over the edge of the hole, and sent the sword away.
I don't want to accidentally stab him, if he's down there.
In total darkness, she twisted through a greased tunnel and then shot along straightaways that accelerated her speed to a dizzying rate. Anya lost her bearings and even her sense of which way was up. The tunnel finally ejected her into a brilliant white light and a huge pile of pillows. It took several seconds for Anya's dilated pupils to adjust to the glare in the room. When she could finally pry her eyelids open, she rapidly crawled off the pillows and onto the stone floor. Shading her eyes with her hand, she glanced around. There was no sign of Kessel. The room she stood in was large and lined with a dizzying array of doors.
Wonderful. More choices to make.
If Kessel had ended up here, he had clearly made a decision to go it alone and not wait for her.
So now what? Pick a door, I guess.
Anya counted them. 12. Each one was different, either in color, shape, or design. One wasn't a door at all, per se, but a shoji screen from Japan that would presumably slide back on rails. Another was a heavy cherry-red wooden door carved with intricate Nordic runes. Scandinavian? There was a simple but elegant white door that looked like something out of a plantation mansion in the deep south. Another industrial steel one seemed to have been taken from a warehouse. Still another had a Victorian design that reminded Anya of a BBC production prop.
Which one?
In the end, with Kessel in mind, she opted for the door that looked like it might lead into someone's garage. It was bruised and battered, with splinters of wood out of it and smeared with grease. Anya grasped the doorknob and turned. The door opened and led into a new corridor. She stepped across the threshold, but left the door open. It was always possible that Kessel might come along behind her. Torches flickered from sconces positioned into the brick walls on either side. Ahead, she could make out a corner she'd have to turn into, but otherwise, the corridor was empty. The sword still emitted its pale gray light despite the flickering torches, which sent shadows skittering down the corridor with each shift in the air. Anya caught the scent of burning pitch.
Who lit all these torches, Fairclough? Couldn't have been you. You're at death's door. You've got people working for you. But where are they? I didn't see a trusty butler lurking around that big house of yours. But then being abducted has a way of distracting a person.
Right before the coroner, Anya stopped. She sank to the stone floor and poked her head around. Another corridor, exactly like the one she'd just walked down. Anya counted the number of torches and then looked behind her and counted again.
Same number.
Anya glanced ahead and made a note of the color of some of the stones. Then she looked back.
The same. So you're trying to make me disoriented, eh, Fairclough? But to what end? What would that prove?
She started down the new corridor.
Well, Fairclough, if you're trying to confuse me, you'll be delighted to know that you're definitely succeeding. Keep going. Castle may still be somewhere up ahead.
At another corner, Anya took time to stop and listen before peering around it. As she did, she saw a shadow disappear around yet another bend.
Should I yell out? What if it's not Kessel?
Anya rounded the corner. She dropped to the floor as several metal star-shaped blades zipped over her head. Anya picked up one of them.
A Senban shuriken.
Anya had seen the throwing stars used during a trip to Japan. The specific design of these stars was disturbingly familiar. She got to the end of the corridor and slowly extended the sword past the corner. When no more shuriken were launched, she crouched and peered cautiously into the next corridor.
What?
And saw nothing but a brick wall. The corridor was a dead end.
But I saw a shadow pass down here.
A quick glance at her watch told her that 5 hours had now passed. She winced.
These puzzles are getting to be a royal pain in the ass, Fairclough.
Freeing both hands, Anya approached the brick wall and pressed against it, but it was solid. There was even a torch in a sconce on the wall itself. Anya reached up and passed her hand over the flame, making sure it wasn't some high-tech illusion, but she felt the bite of the flames.
It's real enough. And so is this wall.
Anya squatted on the ground. If Kessel had actually chosen the same door she had and had forced his way through, there would be obvious marks or signs of what he'd done, but there was nothing. Anya got up and checked where the wall joined the sides of the tunnel, but all she could make out was a line of mortar. It looked like the wall had been deliberately positioned here a very long time ago. She checked the ceiling, looking for signs that the wall had dropped down, but again, the mortar work suggested otherwise. The wall wasn't an illusion, nor did it appear to be something that she could release using some hidden switch, which meant there had to be another way past it. Anya backtracked. Aside from the flickering torches, she couldn't make anything out. And again, she had to fight an overwhelming sense of déjà vu, which threatened to disrupt her perception of place and time. Anya glanced back at the blocked corridor. No way past it. And turning the corner was the logical decision to make, since there was a corner to turn. But what if she should have simply stayed on a straight line? Anya backtracked into the other corridor. This time, instead of turning at the corner, she kept going forward. As she got closer to the wall, the bricks loomed closer and closer, and then she walked right through it. Anya nearly fell over on the other side, amazed that she had managed to walk through a wall.
Cool.
It had to be a hologram. Anya turned, wanting to check it out. A steel door dropped from the ceiling, blocking her path.
Okay, Fairclough, okay. Forward, never back. I get the picture. Jeez.
She turned and kept walking down the new corridor, which again was a perfect replica of the previous ones.
Oh, come on, Fairclough. How much longer does this go on? Am I any closer to the center of the maze? Or Kessel? Or the dogs? No!
The scent of blood hung in the air, and Anya let the sword droop as she fought back her revulsion at the death she had caused.
Damn it, Fairclough. I hate killing dogs.
Furious, Anya sent the sword away and stalked down the corridor.
I need to find Kessel. I'm sick of being alone in this madness. First, Fairclough tells me to find his stupid book, then he punishes me for going after it.
Anya heard noises up ahead and stopped suddenly.
Is that Kessel?
Anya rushed around the corner of the next turn and then froze. A boxing match was playing on a flat-screen TV.
Now what the hell is this?
Anya looked around, but saw nothing else. The TV screen hung on the wall, and beyond that, there was nothing.
Unless...
Anya jerked around and started to head back the way she'd come. Once again, a steel door blocked her path. Anya had nowhere to go but forward. The boxing appeared to be on a video loop that ran for 3 minutes and then restarted itself. Anya looked around the TV screen but saw nothing out of the ordinary.
Someone had to have activated this. Or did I trip a motion sensor as I walked through the maze?
Anya reached and punched the channel button.
Person who wins this...
Anya kept flipping channels, aware of how silly it seemed to be doing this. But then a different picture appeared on the screen. It looked like a different section of the maze. The stone walls were the same, but she could see a lot more details. It was almost as if she had a bird's eye view of the action.
Surveillance cameras. We are being watched.
And what she saw on the TV didn't make her feel good at all. Kessel. He was making his way down another corridor, and a shadow trailed behind him. Big, dark, and ominous.
But where is Kessel?
Judging by the television screen, Kessel was in a corridor exactly like the one Anya was in. The stone walls, the torches, all of it looked exactly the same. It wasn't, though. And the surveillance cameras showed that Kessel seemed to have no idea he was being stalked by a shadow. A large shadow. But what cast that shadow? Anya had no clue.
I've got to find a way to get to him. But how?
If this thing was stalking Kessel, then that might mean she could safely call Kessel's name without fear of its zeroing in on Anya's location. Unless there was more than one thing stalking them. It was worth the risk.
Kessel! 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 Did he hear me?
He had stopped now. His head was cocked to the side.
He must have heard me.
But then Kessel kept walking, and so did the shadow.
No! Kessel! Kessel!
But Kessel didn't seem to hear her, and with each step he took, the shadow behind him drew closer, always closer. Anya tried to turn away from the television, but she was transfixed.
Come on, Kessel! Once a seal, always a seal. Your instincts should be screaming at you by now.
But he showed no sign of noticing. None at all.
I've got to help him. Somehow.
But then Kessel stopped short and cocked his head to the side again.
What? What did you hear?
He started to turn. Anya saw his eyes widen, and then the shadow blocked the camera view. She saw fast movement on the television screen, as if Kessel was trying to fight. Anya braced herself, but when the shadow drew back, there was nothing in the corridor. Kessel was gone. There wasn't even a trace of what had just happened. Nothing.
My God, what is that thing? If it got to Kessel so easily, what can stop it from coming for me next? This sword will stop it. But first, I'll force it to take me to wherever Kessel is. There's no blood and no body. That means there's hope.
The television screen went blank. And then the screen came back again, and Kessel was again walking down the corridor, and then Anya saw the shadow come back into the frame. The entire scene she'd just watched replayed itself again. And again, a minute later, another video loop.
Did I see it in real time the first time?
There was no way to tell. And by shouting Kessel's name like that, she had given away her own location. Anya whirled around, but the corridor seemed empty. The video had been meant to get her to reveal herself to the creature, and Anya had fallen for it. Her voice had echoed all over the maze. Even now, the creature could be homing in on her.
Yeah, well, bring it on. I won't be as easy to take down as Kessel was. I hope...